of divine disclosure and compare with the cross. And yet, who can ever understand that? How can a real man penetrate to the heart of God and hold its death? We stand in awe before the cross's splendor. We cringe in horror before its agony. We need God's own word to help us understand. Our text says, while we were yet helpless, in Romans 5:6, while we were yet helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Some of the mystery is dispelled by this text as it draws the curtain of the Holy of Holies for us to look in, to behold part of the grandeur of the cross, a minute segment of its profundity. See how our text speaks first of mankind and secondly of God. The point is, first of all, that mankind is helpless while we were yet helpless. The idea that St. Paul is expressing is that we like the individual who is well one day and the next day is afflicted by a very serious illness and is rendered entirely helpless. Can't help himself, needs absolutely the assistance of others. The word used here can be translated sick, and in many instances in the New Testament, it is translated in that way. In psychology, we employ a term, neurasthenia, which is built upon the same root. We use this word to describe one who is suffering from an inordinate tiredness, an inability to overcome this dreadful feeling of weakness, even to rest and sleep, and yet is incapable of achieving it. So we are utterly helpless in the eyes of God. We cannot do anything to affect our salvation. We are not strong enough. We are not intelligent enough. We're not good enough. We are absolutely impotent before a task which is more difficult than Atlas bearing the weight of the earth. We're like an infant, utterly dependent upon father and mother, even for the sustenance of life. Augustus Toplady put it this way: not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demand. Could my zeal no rest but know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. We are helpless. But secondly, our text tells us that we are ungodly. That does not mean that we have no God. There's a definite moral quality involved in this world. It expresses the idea that man is in rebellion against God. He is in rebellion against everything that is good and pure and righteous. Which means that our very natures are variant with the holy purposes of God. We are not basically good with a bit of kindness here and there, but there is a force which lies below the surface of our lives. It is far worse, far more devastating than that false line out in California which threatens that segment of our nation with earthquakes and disaster. This is a sickness unto death, not only spiritual, physical death, but a spiritual death which endures for all eternity. 2 chapters before this, St. Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As we look at our lives, we recognize that this is indeed true of us. We continue to fall short of the glory of God. We are helpless and comes at the precisely perfect moment. At the right time, St. Paul writes. Though he uses different words in the original, St. Paul expresses the same idea in Galatians chapter 4. He says, when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that he might receive adoption as son. God's timing is always perfect. It certainly was in meeting man's greatest need for forgiveness of sin. Secondly, God saw man in his utter helplessness and godlessness, and did for man what man could not do for himself. Namely, Christ came into the world and died for the ungodly. That, I submit to you, is a love beyond all tell. That is a love beyond all understanding. St. Paul understood. He says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for the good and for the righteous. But that certainly would lead me out. He didn't die for the strong, for that leads me out as well. He died for the weak, the helpless, the sick of soul, the ungodly, whose very life is an outrage against heaven. For such, for you, for me, he graciously gave up his very life to us, that we might be forgiven. Listen to St. Paul again. For our sake, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Well, we might stand in awe before that cross today. We see something of the depth of his love, the extent to which that love drove him, the profound suffering that he endured, and we're lost in wonder at his grace. But at the grace of prayer. At the time of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, Walt Whitman wrote the unforgettably poignant words, O captain, my captain, our fearful trip is done. The ship is weathered every rock, the prize we sought is won. The cross is near, the bells I hear, the people all exulting, while fellow eyes the steady keel, the vessel grim and daring. But oh, cost, cost, cost. Oh, the bleeding drops of red, beyond the deck my captain lies, fallen, cold, and dead. And as a Christian gazes upon the cross, he might very well say, but oh, heart, 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 oh, the bleeding drops of red, for on the cross my Savior lost, fallen, cold, and dead. But thank God, death could not hold him. He who conquered sin for us all on the cross conquered death on Easter Sunday morning. St. Paul writes, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And wonder of wonders, the same Lord Jesus Christ comes to us all today in the blessed sacrament of the altar, in which he gives us the very body and blood broken for us upon the cross in this holy feast. Here he provides us with the forgiveness of our sins. Here he gives us strength for service in his kingdom. My beloved friends in Christ, let us eat of this precious meal. Let us continue to live daily in the power of the Word of God, which will enable us to be able to say, again and again, and from the depths of our hearts, with Bernard of Clairvaux, what language shall I borrow to thank you, dearest friend,